Now, praise the Lord. Well, if you were with us a couple of weeks ago, we started a new sermon series that we're calling 6 Foot Baby. And we really talked about the fact during that first sermon that to grow up and to grow old is not necessarily the same thing. So there's plenty of people in the natural that grow up or grow old, I should say, but they don't really grow up. They don't mature in the Lord. And the same thing is true in the spiritual as well. There are Christians who have been in the kingdom of God. They've been born again for years, but they just kind of got born again and then they just stayed little babies. They just never really grew up and became who God wants us to be. One of the things about babies is that they're egocentric. That's a big fancy word to say they're selfish. And that they think that the whole world revolves around them. You know, I am the center of the world. If you're a baby, you think that everybody else is there just for you. You know, you're here to change me. You're here to feed me. You're here to change my bottle. You're here to give me my pacifier. You're here to hold me. You're here to rock me to sleep. You're here for me. That's the world that a baby lives in, that everything is about them. But when we grow up, we begin to realize that it's not all about me, and there are other people in the world, and I need to learn how to get along with them, and not just get along, but to learn how to even serve other people and step into that joy that comes. I mean, I'm living in the joy of the grandparenting years, and some of you are there with me, and you, some of you would say, if I knew grandparenting was this much fun, I'd have done that first. You know, I had to just skip right past having kids. But there's something about when you give to your grandkids. I mean, that's what we do. We just give to them. And just to see the smile on their face, it brings joy into our lives. And there are folks that are Christians, but they've not grown up yet. And they haven't yet understood that there is going to come a greater joy. If you think it's joy to have somebody to stick a pasty in your mouth, you wait till you find the joy of putting a pasty in somebody else's mouth. It's a whole different level that we move up to. And that's where God wants us to be. He doesn't want us to just constantly be in the consumer mentality state where it's all about bless me and do for me and take care of me, but where we're in that giving, serving level where it's about what can I do for you? How can I bless you? We got some folks in this church today who are serving for the very first time today. There was a young lady that was standing at the door this morning, and I got introduced to her. I think it's maybe just her first or second time, but very new to the church, and she's already serving as a greeter, and she had this big old smile on her face. She's learning the joy that comes from giving, right? Back on the camera stand today, and another first-timer serving today. Now, watch her get all nervous, and the camera goes to shaking right now. But you step into that place where it's like, it's not about me. It's about how can I be a blessing to others? And there's joy that comes in that the Lord wants us to have. Now, I want to go to Ephesians chapter 4 because really what we talked about last week, we laid this foundation that spiritual growth is desired. It's what God desires for us. It's what we should desire for ourselves. And I want to just read a scripture that just kind of reinforces that. And then I'm going to move in to talking about that not only is it desired, but it is designed. That God has a design for spiritual growth in our life. So let's go first of all, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 15. And this is what the scripture says. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to do all the work that needs to be done in the church so that nobody else has to do anything. No, that's not what it says. My goodness. Where did we go wrong? Because a lot of folks think, yeah, we hired this guy and we hired that guy, and they're supposed to do all the work in the ministry, so we feel good about ourselves. No, that's not what it says here. It says their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be, say the word with me, mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Wow, that sure looks like an appropriate scripture for today, when the world is telling us all kinds of stuff that sounds true, but you don't know what is true, and people that are worried here and there and wringing their hands and, oh, I don't know what I need to do. Look, he's saying that there comes a place where we can grow up in the Lord so that when things go crazy and people are even telling us stuff that you can't believe to be true, even then we're not going to be tossed around like by the wind. Verse 15, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way, somebody say in every way, more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. So if we had any doubts about the fact that it's God's desire for us to grow up, scriptures like this certainly make it clear that God wants us to grow up and that God has a plan for how we can do that. And that's what I really want to look at this morning is his plan or his design, how that spiritual growth is designed. And there's so many different angles that we could approach this from. I could simply say to you, if you're a brand new believer in Christ or you're a young babe in Christ, and actually these things still apply even after we are more mature in the Lord, you know, just spend time in the Word every day, begin to pray every day, develop your devotional life in the Lord, come to church, be around other believers, get into teaching and all the various things. I mean, we could talk about it from that level. I want to just kind of go in a different direction and go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and look at verses 5 through 8, where we find there Peter's answer to how we're supposed to grow in the Lord. So let's look at it. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, in other words, that means put some effort into this. Don't just try it one time and see if it works. No, let's really give it our A, number one, 100% effort. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And I want to just stop right there, and I want to talk about the word add for a moment. Sometimes when we see the word add, we're thinking add means like one plus one plus one, or, you know, add one block on top of another block. That's not what this word here is intended to convey. It's really produces is what I could say, or flows out of. That once you step into this, it opens the door for something else. It's kind of like if I needed to go from here and I needed to go through those doors and down the hallway and then through another set of doors, you know, the one set of doors leads me to another set of doors that leads me to another set of doors. I'm not really adding doors like doors stacked on top of each other. I'm walking in a progressive flow from one thing into another. And so that's really what this is talking about when it says add. It's saying that you're going to move in this progressive flow, that one thing is going to open the door that's going to release you to step into another level, okay? So let's go back then and pick this up, reading that again. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. So in other words, if all of these things help me to progress to the next thing, ultimately I move into this place of mature love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's take a look at this list of qualities, and I'm not exactly sure how far we'll get through those. We'll maybe get through two or three of them today, and maybe we'll come back next Sunday and finish, but let's at least get started in this list, and then you can kind of study it out yourself if we don't get through it. But it starts with faith. That's where everything starts. It's by grace that we're saved through faith. It's our faith that we have in Jesus Christ. We got to put our faith in the Lord. And by faith, we're saved. The grace of God's at work, but there's a place of faith. Everything starts at faith. Augustine said that faith is the root and the mother of all virtue. Hebrews 11:6, in the midst of that faith chapter that defines faith as the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. In other words, that there the faith is beyond what I can see with my natural eyes. Faith opens the door to see stuff that my natural eyes cannot see, cannot know, cannot understand. And I got to have that faith. And it says that without that faith, in verse 6, it's actually impossible to please God. And so the Bible also tells us that obviously that we've got to have faith. We've got to believe in God. We've got to believe that He exists, first of all. Believe in His plan of salvation. Believe in the Bible as being true. Believe a lot of things that you have to have faith to believe in. Believe that there's a heaven. Believe that there's a hell. Believe that Jesus actually died on the cross, that His sacrifice is enough to pay the penalty for our sin so that we can have everlasting life. There's a lot of things that you have to have faith to believe in to get you into the kingdom of God so that you can be born again. And the Bible says that God gives a measure of faith. Somebody say measure of faith. God gives a measure of faith, a starting point, enough faith to get you to where we just talked about, enough faith to believe that there is a God, to believe that there's a plan of salvation, to believe in the gift of eternal life. So God gives us at least that amount of faith to get started with. But the question becomes, is that enough faith? Is that enough faith to get us through the rest of our lives? Do we start with that amount of faith and end with that amount of faith? And there are a lot of people that would try to say, sure, and would even use a scripture and try to compare our faith to mustard seed, saying all you need is just a little bit of faith, just a little bit of faith, like a mustard seed. That's all that you need to move mountains. Wrong. I may just be busting somebody's spiritual bubble right now, but I want to just challenge you with the Word of God that is not what Jesus said. We're going to look at what Jesus said, not what people say Jesus said. We're going to look at what Jesus actually said about the mustard seed, because mustard seed faith is not just a dabble do you for the rest of your life. We're talking about growing up. We're talking about maturing. We need to walk by faith. We need to live by faith. We need to grow that faith so that we can do greater and greater things. Listen, let me just back up for a second. Let's go back to Abraham, who's called the father of the faithful, the father of faith. If God on day one had said to Abraham, and Abraham doesn't know God, he's never experienced God, he's never seen the miracle-working power of God at work in his life at all. And on day one, if God says to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to take your son up to that mountain and sacrifice him for me there. Do you think that Abraham would have taken one step up that mountain? And I'd say the answer is absolutely not. No way he would have done that. But we know that there came a point in Abraham's life where he was willing to take that step, was willing to walk up. Now, for those of you who don't know the Bible story, let me give you the end of that story. God at the end says, I see your faith. You don't have to sacrifice your son. I've already provided another sacrifice, and there was a ram there that was caught in a thicket. So God doesn't ask him to sacrifice his son in the end. But Abraham would have never done that, except for the fact that God had been testing Abraham and had been building his faith all through his life. There had been a number of things that God had done in his life, like, Abraham, would you trust me enough to leave where you're living and just go to a different place? Now, that may be a stretch of faith, but it wasn't so hard that Abraham wasn't able to do it. And so Abraham does that, and he sees that God's faithful, and God keeps taking care of him every step of the journey, every place that they stop. There's provision. The Lord is good. You know, and he begins to see that. At some point, as Abraham tests him, will you trust me that I'm going to give you a son in your old age? And it's like, ooh, that's a lot harder to believe than to believe that I'm going to actually, you know, just move somewhere. But, you know, hey, you know, things can happen. Maybe that's within the realm of possibility. And God does it for him. And every one of these trials, every one of these steps, you see, it puts him to a greater level of faith. So finally, he gets to the place where we call him the father of the faithful ones. Now, let's go back to that mustard seed. You thought I got lost, didn't you? No, I know right where we are. Let's go back to that mustard seed. Because one of my pet peeves, spiritually pet peeves, is when I hear people teach and say and suggest that all you need is faith the size of a grain of mustard seed and you can move mountains. That's what the Bible says. And again, I've already told you, no, that's not what the Bible says. So let's see, what does the Bible say about it? Let's go to Matthew chapter 17. Now let me set this up for you, because Jesus is getting ready to talk about faith like a mustard seed. But let's set it up. It's in a story where Jesus had been up to the Mount of Transfiguration. He's come back down off the mountain. He's got three of his disciples there with him, Peter, James, and John. The other nine guys, they're down doing business, and they've come across this man who's got a little boy who's possessed. Devil throws him into the fire, all kinds of stuff. It's a terrible little story. And he says, I want you to cast this demon out of my boy. And so these guys muster up the amount of faith that they have, because doesn't it take a little bit of faith to say, we're going to try to cast the demon out? How many of you think you got to have at least a little bit of faith if you're going to start trying to cast a demon out of somebody? I'm not going to do that without some level of faith in my life. So they've got at least enough faith, right, that they're willing to try this, and they think that it's going to happen. They stay at it long enough that they're perplexed that they can't seem to make it happen. They really believe that they were going to be successful in doing this. They had that level of faith. Jesus comes down off the mountain, and the guy says, hey, look, your disciples can't cast a demon out of my son. Can you do it? And Jesus very quickly casts the demon out of the boy. Now, the disciples, now I'm setting this story up for faith, mustard seed faith here. The disciples look to Jesus and they're like, we don't get it. How could you do it and we couldn't? Because we had faith. We believed that we could. We tried. We prayed. We did all the things that we've seen you do and you've cast them out, but we couldn't. And here's the answer that Jesus gives, Matthew 17, verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Some versions of the Bible says because you don't have enough faith. We're getting ready to talk about mustard seed faith. We're getting ready to hear that if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can cast mountains into the sea. And yet Jesus is saying, you don't have enough faith. Even the little tiny faith, the size of a mustard seed, is not enough faith for what you're encountering. And so Jesus goes on to say this. He says, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. What does that say? Does that say the size of a mustard seed? Does that say as small as a grain of mustard seed? Now, I looked it up to make sure, because some of you have got a Bible that you're reading from that says the size of or as small as. Now, this is the King James Version. I'm not putting King James over anybody else. I went back to the original Greek here because that's what we need to know. That's what Jesus was talking. And the word here in the Greek means like. It means as. There's no reference to size with this word. It's a word that's, you know, like, you know, this chair is like that chair, or this person is like that person, or you know, this musical sound is similar as, it's like as that musical sound. It's a word of comparison, of similarity. It doesn't specify what the similarity is. It just says it's similar as, okay? That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying that you need faith that is similar to, like as a grain of mustard seed. And he says, with that kind of faith, what can you do? You can say to the mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. All right. So in context, it's obvious that the disciples had a little bit of faith. They were trying to operate in the amount of faith that they had, but Jesus says that the amount of faith that they had was not yet sufficient. It was not yet enough. And so he says, what you need is faith like a grain of mustard seed. Well, then, if he's not talking about size, Pastor Tommy, please tell me, what is he talking about? I'm glad you asked. Isn't it wonderful when the Bible is its own commentary? Isn't it wonderful when the Bible gives the answers to the questions that it raises? And in this case, not only does the Bible give us the answers, Jesus himself gives us the answer, and he does it in Luke chapter 13. Because Jesus, when he talks about a mustard seed, he's not talking about size. He's talking about potential. And in fact, he's talking about exponential potential. He's talking about something that starts very small, but it has the potential to grow huge. Let's look at it. Luke chapter 13, verses 18 and 19. Then Jesus said, "What is the kingdom of God like? How can I illustrate it? It is like a tiny mustard seed that a man planted in a garden. It grows and becomes a tree, and the birds make nests in its branches." In another place, it talks about even the animals coming and creating dens in the shade of that tree. I want you to see what Jesus is saying about mustard seed faith. He's not saying all you need is a little teeny tiny bit of faith and you can do anything that you want to do. No, what he's saying is you need to have a faith that while it might start small, it might seem little to begin with, but you begin to plant it. You begin to water it. You begin to nurture it. You begin to exercise it. You begin to use it. You begin to develop it. And that faith will begin to grow inside of you where you'll believe like you've never believed before. You'll have faith like you never had before. And with that higher level of faith, you will begin to do what you've never done before. And that's where God wants us to be. He does not want you to be a 6-foot baby when it comes to your faith. He wants you to start growing that faith, developing that faith, walking out that faith, maturing that faith. And there will come a day in your life where suddenly you'll realize, I'm walking in faith that I didn't have the faith to walk in before. I'm doing things that I used to didn't have the faith to be doing. But because I've begun to trust God, because I begin to exercise my faith and grow my faith, look at what is happening in my life. So exercise your faith, water your faith, fertilize your faith, walk by faith, grow your faith. And then Peter says, to your faith add virtue. Or out of that faith, virtue is going to begin to flow and be produced. The word virtue means noble character, moral purity, goodness, and I'm going to throw in the word holiness. When I say holiness, I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about the holy lifestyle that is possible through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And I want to just make a statement, and that is, I believe that we're living in an hour where God is calling his people back to holiness. God is calling his church to holiness. I believe that there is an impending move of God that is probably already birthed. We just haven't gotten a chance to see it in its full manifestation yet, but it's already beginning to happen. A great Third Reformation, you might say, a sweeping revival that God wants to do, not just here in the United States, but around the world. I believe that that is happening. I believe that there are going to be all kinds of things that are going to be a part of that revival. I think we're going to see things that we've never seen before, signs and wonders and miracles and all kinds of incredible stuff. We're going to see a great harvest of souls like we've never seen before, as the angels in this end time are beginning to bring in that final harvest before the coming of the Lord. And I can't give you a timing of all of that. God didn't even let Jesus give us the timing of all of that when he was on the earth. But it's coming, and we're in the beginning throes of this move of God. But I believe that this move of God is going to be characterized by holiness more so than what we have seen in the past. In the last decade or two, the church has emphasized grace to the neglect of holiness. I'm preaching to you right now, trying to help you right now, because I want to see some of you grow up, get your big boy pants on, quit being that 6-foot baby. It's time to grow up. And, you know, any baby, you start passing vegetables around, and they're going, I don't like that. I don't want any of that, right? Now, eat your broccoli, eat your carrots, eat your green peas. You know, it's all good for you. Listen, if you start passing on the holiness of the Lord, you're going to stay an immature 6-foot baby Christian. If you start saying, no, I want a second helping of grace, but I don't want any holiness on my plate, you are going to stay a 6-foot baby Christian, as was described here, being blown around. Everything that goes on just turns your life upside down. You don't have any strength in you, any stability in you, any foundation in you to withstand the events of life. You're just going to be just blown away by everything, and God doesn't want that for you. He wants you growing up. Listen, I'm thankful for grace. I need it. But grace is not a license to continue in a sinful lifestyle. Grace, I'm going to say it again, is not a license to continue in a sinful lifestyle, a disobedient, godless lifestyle. Grace is to empower us to live right. Grace is to say, okay, you tried and you messed up. I'm going to give you another chance. Grace isn't, oh, just continue to soil your diaper and we'll just keep changing it. That's not what grace is. Grace says, I'll help you when you're a baby. I'll help you when you're little. But hey, buddy, you're 12 years old. It's time to go to the bathroom all by yourself. It's time to get some holiness moving in our lives, some virtue flowing in our lives. There's a story in the Bible. It's the story of the woman with the issue of blood. And if you follow that story, she's sick. She believes. She's got faith. It starts with faith. Something flows out of her faith. Out of her faith, she touches the hem of Jesus' garment while he's in a crowd of people. And Jesus stops what he's doing, and he turns around, and this is what Jesus says. He says, who touched me? For I felt virtue flowing out of me. Now, it's interesting, this woman was healed, right? Jesus doesn't say, who touched me? Because I felt healing power flow out of me. Though she was healed. Obviously, there was healing power. But he doesn't call it healing power. He calls it virtue. This virtue, this godly, Christ-like character, this holiness, this purity, this virtue flows out of Jesus when it was activated by faith. So faith adds virtue. Faith opens the door, lets virtue begin to flow in our lives. And that virtue met her at her place of need, and it accomplished in her what she needed at that moment. She needed healing. That's what the virtue, the power of God, did in her life. I want to tell you today, I believe that when we by faith touch God, it will release the virtue of God into our lives, not just so that we can look good, not just so we can act good, but so that the power of God begins to activate in our lives and provide for us whatever we are in need of. And so if you're here today and you need healing in your body, and so you reach out by faith and you touch the hem of Jesus' garment, the goodness, the virtue of God will meet you at your point of need, and it will provide healing in your life. If you're here today and you need deliverance from some issue in your life, by faith you touch the hem of Jesus' garment, it'll release the virtue that'll flow into your life, touch you at your point of need, and set you free from the bondage that you're in. Are you tracking with me today? Does this make sense? Whatever it is that you're in need of, God is saying, I'm the God that is able to provide your need. The virtue, the power of the Holy Spirit, that this holy life flowing from Jesus can minister to every need in your life. And I'm just excited about that today, especially in light of what we just shared earlier about people who touched the hem of Jesus' garment just last week, and what they got was the virtue power of God that flowed into them that has given them deliverance from that cigarette habit in their life. And so praise the Lord. He can do it for you, whatever you stand in need of. But he wants that virtue to flow in our life, and he wants that virtue to remain in our life. He wants that holiness, that character of God, that goodness of the Lord to be abundant in our lives, so that, number three, the virtue will produce knowledge. And I'm just going to stop when I wrap this up here in just about 2 minutes. Knowledge. So track with me. If faith opens the door for virtue to flow into my life, as that virtue flows into my life, it's going to increase the level of knowledge that I have about God and how He works and how He operates in our lives. Now, going back to this woman with the issue of blood, there's an interesting statement that's made in that same story. After she touches the hem of Jesus' garment, verse 33 of Mark chapter 5, it says, "But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him." Look at that word, knowing. She had a new level of knowledge. She knew something that she did not know before. By faith, she touched Jesus. That released virtue to flow into her life. And when that virtue flowed into her life, she stepped into a new level of knowledge, and she knew something that she did not know before. Listen, when we encounter the presence of God and the power of God, and again, I'm believing that the church, as we step into this revival, I'm believing for signs, and I'm just declaring signs and wonders and miracles and healings and deliverances and all kinds of powerful things that happen. And when that begins to happen, that's the power of God. That's the virtue of God that makes all that possible. When that begins to happen, we're going to step into a new level of knowledge of God that we did not know before. You're going to know things about the Lord that you did not know. You're going to understand things that you had never understood before, and it's all because of the power of God that is at work in our life. And when that happens, and the Holy Spirit gives us these new revelations, I'm not talking about like we're going to know stuff that nobody else ever, but personally for us, we're going to have new levels of revelation. It'll cause us to think like we've never thought before, and it'll cause us to do what we've never done before, because we're walking in this new knowledge of the Lord. Would you stand with me this morning? There's some more things that happen that continue to flow. Some temperance, some spirit control, some patience, some other things that begin to flow. We'll just trust the Lord whether we need to pick this up or go in another direction next week. But study this out. Study this out. Just look at this growth. There's a growth pattern that God's wanting to design. He's designed for us that we grow our faith so that we can touch God like we've never touched Him before. We'll be willing to touch Him, releasing His virtue to flow in our lives. God wants to do that. He wants to release power into our lives, manifest His glory into our lives and His goodness into our lives, virtue. And then He wants it to remain. He wants us to walk holy and live holy as unto the Lord. And as that's happening, we're going to know God like we've never known Him before. We're going to see things we've never seen. We're going to experience things we've never experienced. It's all about what God is wanting to show us. Lord, we thank You. God, You don't want us to remain immature Christians. Lord, You're wanting us to grow up. I thank You, Father, there's a lot of maturity in the body of Christ here at Spirit Life Church. There are many who are well mature, well grown up in the Lord. There's some who are just babes in Christ. They're just getting started. Lord, we don't hold that against them. We expect them to be babies as long as they're just brand new in the kingdom. Lord, there's some who've been playing the spiritual game for too long. Too long. They've been relying on grace without holiness for too long. They've not been willing to grow their faith by trusting in You and being obedient to You and watching what You can do so that they can move new levels of faith from glory to glory, as the Scripture says. For too long. Lord, today I just pray that changes. Lord, that there's a new resolve and a new determination in us that says, I'm tired of living the way I've been living. I'm tired of the enemy kicking me around. I'm tired of him picking on me. I'm tired of being blown around by every new wind that comes into my life. I'm ready for some stability. I'm ready for some maturity. I'm ready to grow up in the Lord. I'm ready to put the childish things behind. to become a man of God, a woman of God that the Lord is calling me to be. Lord, I pray that that's the decision, that's the determination that's being made across this room today. And I thank you, Lord, that you're doing that. And I know, God, that as we make that choice, as we make that decision, Lord, you'll come alongside of us. This isn't something that we're going to do on our own. This isn't something we're doing in our own strength. We're not just growing ourselves up, Lord. We're surrendering ourselves to your Holy Spirit that you would grow us as we come alongside and participate in agreement with you. Just ask you to do that, Lord. That you just begin to do that, Lord, across this room, that there are people who are making that decision. They're praying that prayer right now. Lord, grow me up. Lord, mature me. Help me to become the man of God, the woman of God that you've designed me to be, that you created me to be, that you desire me to be. I yield myself to you, Holy Spirit. Lord, come in right now. Lord, I pray that as we by faith touch heaven today, that there is a release of virtue flowing into our lives. God, would you release your power to begin to work, to touch us at the point of our need. Whatever it is, virtue to heal, virtue to deliver, virtue to set free, the power of God at work in our lives, Lord, to make us holy like you. God, we're not making excuses anymore. We're not just relying on grace, 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 grace. Thank God for the grace. But Lord, we know you're calling us to something higher. We know, Lord, that you're calling us to something deeper. Lord, you're wanting us to mature and to become more and more like Jesus. God, the most mature of us in this room today have not quite yet reached that standard. And so, Lord, we're all continuing to strive to be more and more like Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you're growing us today. You're growing us today. We give you praise. I'm just going to ask this morning as you continue to pray and just talk to the Lord, but with heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe there's some folks in this room today that you've not yet made the decision to put your faith in Jesus Christ, but God has given you that measure of faith to believe that God is real. Heaven is real, hell is real, sin is real, that there's a judgment that is coming, that as we are sinners, we're not ready for that judgment, but that Jesus Christ paid the penalty and the price for us at the cross, that there's enough faith. God's given you that level, that amount of faith that you need to say, yes, I'm ready to receive Jesus. I'm ready to make Jesus Christ my Lord today. I'm ready to step in to this relationship with the Lord. If you're here today and you need to be saved, if you're here today and you know that if you don't make a change in your life, that you're going to split hell wide open one day, and you don't want to do, raise your hand. You want to be saved. Raise your hand in this building. Anyone, anyone. I'm looking around and I don't see any hands lifted. Week after week after week, we see people making the decision to receive Christ. So I'm always expecting that every week somebody's going to come to Jesus. Maybe there's somebody you're watching online today and you need to make that decision. I just want to appeal to you. God loves you. Jesus cares about you. He paid the price for your sin. The Bible says that if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, put that faith in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So would you pray this prayer along with me right now? Heavenly Father, Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner, but I believe that Jesus died on a cross, paid the penalty of my sin, and offers me the free gift of everlasting life. By faith, I receive his gift. By faith, I receive that gift of everlasting life. Jesus, come into my heart. Wash me and cleanse me. Just take away all of my sin. Forgive me of all of the sin of my past. Help me now to live for you and to serve you for the rest of my life.